I've been your pastor now coming up on 7 months, and we are loving Monticello, Florida. We just enjoy this community. I'm part of the Chamber of Commerce. I started attending the meetings there and just love Monticello and all that it offers. And I love to speak to residents of Monticello because they say the same thing. They love living in this town. And last week, we ended our series on T-minus 40 when we saw Jesus marching orders for us to go into our Jerusalem. He said, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And we started looking at having an Acts 1:8 strategy that we would deliberately take the good news of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit into our Jerusalem. And our Jerusalem is Monticello, Florida. And what an amazing place that we have the opportunity to invest our lives in making sure that the people of Monticello know the good news about Jesus. That Jesus was born of a virgin, that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross, not for anything that he had done, but for our sins. And then, of course, on that third day, he rose again. That is the good news of the gospel that we have the opportunity to share with our Jerusalem, Monticello, Florida. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about our Jerusalem, and we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture where Jesus looked onto a city, and he had compassion for them, and that's the same kind of compassion that we should have. So if you have your Bible, and I hope you do, open it up to Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to look at this passage of Scripture. While you're turning there, let me mention that Jesus was very busy being about what God had called him to do on earth, and he was moving around, and he was very busy, and we're going to see what he was doing in this passage of Scripture. So if you've found your place, we're going to be reading Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 35, and if you found your place, please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. So Jesus is traveling around, and he's doing what God called him to do. And then in Matthew 9:35, it says this: "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" May God richly bless his word today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture, and thank you for this opportunity you've given us to be in your house. And now, Father, as we focused our attention on your word, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. And Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 35, it's a very vivid description of what Jesus was doing. He was busy about his Father's business. And look at these action words, and this is love in action. We all know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." Jesus is the demonstration of God's love for us. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so what we see Jesus doing is love in action. And listen to the action words that he did. Jesus went through all the towns. He was busy. And all the villages, he was teaching in their synagogues. He was teaching them the way that they can know God and teaching them the truths about God. But he was also proclaiming the good news of the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. And he was healing every disease. He was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing. And he sets an example for us of some of the same things that we will be doing if we truly love like Jesus did. That we're going to be teaching the Word of God. We're going to be teaching people about the kingdom of God. And we're going to be proclaiming to them how they can have a relationship with Jesus, how that they can know the Savior, that he can be up close and personal with them like he is with us, that they can find forgiveness of sin, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And he was also healing every disease and sickness. You know, we're about that as a church as well. We pray. We are very active to pray for people that are ill. We visit in the hospital, and we want to be a part of what God's doing in people's lives as they need healing, both physically and spiritual healing. Jesus is a great example of love in action. You know, if love is true, then there's always some action to it. Every woman knows that they want to feel love from their husbands, not just by what we say, but what we do. Love's got to have action to it. And so love in action, and Jesus was very busy about his Father's business as he was teaching and proclaiming and healing. But then something happens. He is going through these towns, these villages, and these towns, and there comes a moment as he's busy teaching, he's preaching, and he's healing, and there comes this moment, and this was a teachable moment for his disciples, and this is also a moment that we get to see Jesus' heart for us and the heart for those that were around him. And number two on your outline is love that sees. Love that sees. Listen to what it says. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And so he looks up and he sees the crowds. He sees them. You know, good ministry starts with us seeing the needs that are around us. And I wonder, in your life, what do you see? When you see the people of our Jerusalem, the people of Monticello, what do you see? Do you see them? Sometimes when we look around us and we see those that are around us, we see all the things that divide us and all the things that are different that would divide us from others. We see different socioeconomic situations that are represented in Monticello. We see different racial boundaries that would be there, and that was not present with what Jesus saw. Jesus looked out and he saw people, and they were harassed like sheep without a shepherd, and so he sees them. You see, we need to see like Jesus does. And we need to understand that God has placed us in this community for a reason, so that we would see and that we would have hearts of compassion and we would reach out with the power of the gospel. So my question is, do you see? Do you see all that's around you and the ministry possibilities that are around us? And then what do you see? And what Jesus saw was people that needed a relationship with the Heavenly Father. People that needed him. And we can see the same thing. We need to see our community the way that Jesus sees our community. And if we were to see our community the way that Jesus sees our community, that would lead us to act. And that would lead us to be actively involved in the life of our community and not just be satisfied with what happens on the inside of the walls of our church, but we would be looking out to see and to minister and to have love in action like Jesus did. The second thing on your message notes is love that feels. He not only saw the people, but he felt deeply about what he was seeing. He had compassion on them. And compassion is defined as a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate it. And so compassion is when we see someone that is in trouble and we have sympathy for them and we have a desire to do something about it. But that doesn't completely describe what was happening with Jesus. There is a Greek word, and it is sphagnizomai. Now that's a word to practice before you say before a group, sphagnizomai. It's a Greek word that talks about feeling it on the inside, the bowels. Listen to this. It says, to be moved as to one's bowels, hence to be moved with compassion. He was gripped and he could physically feel it. And so when he looked out and he saw the people that were in need, he physically felt it on the inside. I mean, that's something to the heart, to the just feeling it. It wasn't something that they just noticed, but it was something that he felt. And I wonder if you feel that same way as you look around and you see the needs in our community, that you look at our community and you just feel it, you just ache on the inside because you want people to know Jesus and to have a relationship with their Father and have their spiritual needs met, that it's just an achiness on the down on the inside of you. That's what Jesus did when he looked at these people in these towns and villages. They were like sheep without a shepherd, and they needed a Savior, and he felt it on the inside. His heart was breaking, and listen, we need to feel like Jesus felt about the people. And so we look into our community, our Jerusalem, and we don't just see the people, and we don't just see the needs, but it grips us that we can be part of what God wants to do in our community as people are like sheep without a shepherd. It's an amazing thing to think about what we're talking about this morning, is that we need to see what Jesus sees when we look at our Jerusalem, and we need to feel what Jesus feels. And when we see and feel the way that Jesus does, that's going to lead us to action. And that's number four on your message notes, love that acts. You see, this love that Jesus has for us compels us. Listen to this verse. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And that he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. You see, when we see what Jesus sees, when we feel what Jesus felt, that's going to lead us to act, and we're going to do the things that God has called us to do. And if we get those things in the order, see, sometimes we put the doing before the seeing and the feeling. And seeing the need and feeling what Jesus feels is the motivation that gives us to act. And sometimes we start with the act and we leave out the other things, and then our actions are short-lived. And we've got four things that we are going to do as a church as we act upon what we see in our community and what we feel about our community as it relates to our Acts 1:8 strategy. Our Acts 1:8 strategy is to have a deliberate missions focus locally, right here in Monticello, our Jerusalem. Our Acts 1:8 strategy also is that we would look at our nation and see how our church can be a part of taking the good news about Jesus to our great country. Our Acts 1:8 strategy also continues to the ends of the earth, that we would look for ways that our church would be connected internationally to sharing the good news about Jesus. And it starts with what we see, and that we see the need, and that we feel it, that God has given us something to do, and if we don't do it, it's not going to get done, and we feel, and it's got urgency to it. And so we're going to do four things as it relates to our being faithful to Acts 1:8 in the life of our church. And the first thing is that we're going to pray. So when Jesus saw the people and he felt what he felt, he was moved to compassion. In verse 37 it says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And he said, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. He was saying, pray to God. Pray that there would be people that would be sent out into the harvest field. And so as we are looking to fulfill Acts 1:8 in the life of our church, we need to begin with prayer. Prayer is the fuel, and nothing great for God starts apart from prayer. And so prayer is the fuel for our activity as it relates to us taking the gospel of Jesus to a lost and dying world, starting here in our Jerusalem and going to even the ends of the earth. But he said something very interesting in the beginning of that. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You know, a harvest is something that is unique, and many of our men that are farming in this area understand the harvest. There's a lot of work that goes into getting to that point of there being a harvest. And when that harvest is ready, there's an urgency. Because if it's not harvested in that short window of opportunity, that crop is ready, you can lose the whole thing. And so there is this urgency that goes with the harvest being ready. And after the harvest happens, there's always a celebration, because all of that hard work that went into tending the field and preparing it and planting and cultivating and all of those things that went into that, once the harvest is had, there's a great celebration, and then the cycle starts over again, preparing the field, planting, cultivating, and then harvesting. And so there's some urgency, and so Jesus knew that he was talking to people that understood farming. He understood the principles of farming. And so when he said the harvest is plentiful, they understood that there was some urgency to that. And see, we need to understand that same urgency, because there is a harvest all around us, and it's not a harvest of a crop, but it's a crop of souls. And there are people all around us that need to know the good news about Jesus, and there's urgency to it. And with this urgency, Jesus says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out workers into his harvest field. So we are going to pray, and we're going to pray for our Jerusalem this morning, that we would be about reaching our Jerusalem and being faithful to be a part of the harvest here in Monticello, Florida. And in the weeks to come, we're going to pray for our nation, and we're going to pray for our world in specific ways, and pray for missionaries. We're going to spend some time praying about Acts 1:8 when we meet together on Sundays. The second thing that we are going to do as a church is we're going to give. We can pray, but we can also give. And so we're going to give. Our church has a great heritage of giving to missions, our cooperative program, Annie Armstrong, Lottie Moon offerings. This church has a great history of doing that. But we're going to continue to give of ourselves. If we see what Jesus sees, if we feel what Jesus feels, that is going to translate into us giving our resources towards reaching people with the good news about Jesus. We're going to give. We're also going to go, the third thing under what we will do, we're going to go. You know, it's easier to give, and everyone can give, but maybe not everyone can go. And so we're going to challenge our people to go into our community, to go into our nation, and go into even the world with the good news about Jesus. And so we're going to be planning trips, and we're going to be doing things to where we can be active as a church to go and to share the good news about Jesus. And we're also going to send. We're going to send people out from our church, and we're going to send people into our community, into our nation, and even into the world. And I had this thought. Wouldn't it be amazing if God would send one of our young people, one of our families, into the world to serve him as full-time missionaries? What an amazing thing that would be, that a family or a young person would see what Jesus saw, would feel what Jesus feels about the nations, and that would be compelled to go serve him full-time. Maybe that we would send out someone from our church. God would do that. We're not going to be able to do that, but God would work in the life of someone to do that. And so those are the four simple things that we're going to do that will make a huge impact as we join God in what he's doing in the life of this church, in this community, in our nation, in the world. We're going to pray, we're going to give, and we're going to go and send. One of the things that that I did when pretty early in coming here was I requested a demographic study of our area that started right here at our church and went out 3 miles, 5 miles, and 10 miles. And one of the things that was really interesting from this demographic study, because I wanted to understand what our community was like, and I wanted to be able to describe it to you so that we could know where we are, so that we could be very specific about how we would reach out to our community. And one of the things that really stood out that I want to share with you this morning is that in a 3 mile radius of our church, 25% of the households within that radius of our church have no faith involvement at all. I mean, that's no faith involvement at all. There's no church that they would identify with. There's nothing. That is 1/4, one out of every four homes within that radius, that 3 mile radius of our church, would say, I'm not associated with any church. And that, we should see that. We should feel that. Because the comfort and the understanding that we have from belonging to Christ, and the benefit of that in our life, there are 1/4 of the families that have no church involvement, no involvement at all, 1 out of 4 in our community. that most likely don't know Jesus Christ. And we can be a part of reaching out in our community so that we can let the good news about Jesus, we can let it be known in our Jerusalem, Monticello, Florida. You know, we've got a lot of activity going on in the life of our church right now. I'm preparing to have a float in the parade, preparing to have a booth downtown for the Watermelon Festival, having a vacation Bible school, and we're making a big deal about that, and inviting as many people as will come. Why would we do all of that? Well, it's because of Acts 1:8. It's because of what we see in our community and what we feel about where we live. We want to reach out with the good news about Jesus and let as many as will listen know. We want to care for the children in our community. We want to be actively involved in what God is doing. There's an experiencing God principle that deals with joining God in what He's doing in His activity. And when we endeavor to fulfill Acts 1:8 in our Jerusalem, we're doing that very thing. God is at work in Monticello, Florida, and we have the opportunity to join Him in what He's doing. And when we see what Jesus saw, when we feel what Jesus felt, and when we have love for what we see that leads us to action, we'll be joining our Savior in what He's doing. I've got a short video that we've prepared that talks about our Jerusalem.